I want to address. Says in the Kitzulah Peres Hashira Hazos, this is Parsha that we just said, listen, see that sage is told. Kitzulah Peres Hashira Hazos, interesting that the Torah is called Shira. Funny lushing to the Torah is called Shira. I still brought down that Torah is the chios of a person. Torah is the lifeblood of an individual. It's the thing that creates within a person. It is the besikas, it is the sweetness of Torah. Ule sarosva shashua ozavadati biyani, God says. And after the light of Torah, I would have been flawed, I would have been long gone. Therefore it says, Kitzula Teres Hashira Hazot. The Torah itself, a person that learns Torah, the sweetness of Torah, the magic of Torah, it's a Shira. The song gives a person feels, it gives them life, it buoys his spirit, it strengthens him, it chazik him. So too the words of Torah, developing the person, serves the same purpose. It gives a person the feels, it gives them life. I want to mention that I asked Rabbi Hafner to speak right before Rosh Hashanah. I must honestly say I really did not expect that he would accept. See, I don't know for sure, Rabbi Hafner, somebody would have asked me to speak right before Rosh Hashanah, that I would have even have had, do you understand, the tefillas hadat, you know what I mean? The composure of mind and heart to be able to commit myself so close to Yantin, to be able to undertake, to understand, such a wonderful mitzvah dika chesed, to be able to speak. So therefore, my hakara satov to you on both levels. Not only for your acceptance to be able to address the kihila, but as well to be able personally on a level to take out your time at such a difficult period of time to go ahead and come here to Silver Spring and to speak to us and to share words of your Divrei Torah. Rabbi Hafner is known to me as one of the outstanding Rabbanim in Baltimore. I was just speaking to Rabbi Hafner, you know, Rabbanim have a lot of responsibility. There are a lot of different multi-tasks that Rabbanim have to do. The Chlal Uvprat, with the Kfila at large, and with individuals and singular people. But I have to tell you that everything and every source of strength that comes can only be achieved and accomplished only if there is Torah within the person himself. If the person learns Torah, if he's a person who speaks in Torah, then that is the vigor and strength from which all evidence comes. Rabbi Hafner is a Talmid Chacham, extraordinary capacity, very well respected in Baltimore, and therefore it is our privilege and pleasure to be able to have Rabbi Hafner come and address our people at this particular time.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Would you like the microphone?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Winter and Rishuth. It's always very inspiring to see people come together for one purpose and for a sole purpose of just being mischazik, trying to strengthen oneself, especially at this time before the Yom HaNoraim. I would call this something that is called the Knesio L'Shem Shamayim, a gathering for one purpose, for the sake of heaven, for doing something that's going to make us better Jews, greater Ibdei Hashem, and it's something that brings great, great pleasure to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I would just like to open my words with really the words of the Navi in Malachi. This is really at the end of the period of Nevuah that there was. Chagai Zechariah and Malachi were the last of the Nevi'im. And Malachi says the following, Chosku olai divrechem omar adunoi, l'amartem man nidbarnu olecha. You've spoken very, very strong words about me, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says. And you say, what have we spoken against you? Amartem, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam responds, Shabba avoid Elohim. It's for naught that a person should serve God. Those are the words that you've said. Umabetza kishomarno mishmartoi. What is it that we have accomplished? What is it that we have gained by listening? Have we gained anything? And have we gained anything by by being subservient to you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Have we gained anything by that? And these are the words that you have spoken, and therefore what you have done is you decided not to follow my path. And then, so the Navi says the following in the name of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Oz nidbaru yirei Hashem ishel reyehu. Then those who fear the Rabbeinu Shel Olam spoke to each other. They spoke to each other and they said, what did they say? What can we do? How can we come better? What is it that we can accomplish more so that we haven't accomplished last year? And vayakshev Hashem vayishma. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam listens carefully and attentively to those words. Those words are so precious when Yidden speak to each other and say, let us do something, and let us do something nicer and better. And although you might not see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam reacting immediately, meaning to say you might not see the benefit immediately by doing that, but the Rabbeinu Shel Olam writes that in his book of Zikaron, in his book of remembrance, although the Rabbeinu Shel Olam doesn't need that book, there is no shikha, he doesn't forget, but it's as if man would say, it's there forever in front of him, for those that fear him. When people gather together and say, let us be mechazik each other, that is something that is you can't imagine how precious that is to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But the question that they answer, where the ones that spoke against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam said, Ma betza, what reward do we have? Did it pay for us to be subservient to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Are we richer? Are we more prominent? Have we done better than before? Their answer is, maybe we haven't seen that. But our answer, those who are Yirei Hashem, those who attempt to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, our lives are different lives. We're different people. We're happy people. You know what it is when a person lives with a goal in life and a mission, and it has a meaning? For people to become more spiritual people, live a life like that. Who is a free man? Who is somebody who's not shackled by his environment, but is somebody who sort of feels confident that he can go through life living again with a mission and a goal of being a greater Eved Hashem? And in life itself, you know, when a person can look himself in the mirror and say, I don't just think about myself, I think about others. When I'm careful about somebody else's property, when somebody else loses something and it's as if I feel that I lost something, let me see, let me try to give it back and to see to it that he gets it. That I'm honest in my business practices. I could have taken something from somebody else. I didn't. It wasn't easy, and it took an enormous amount of, you know, shmiras hamidas, inner strength, but I went ahead and I did it. A person like that can look himself in the mirror and say, I'm a somebody. I'm a somebody, not that I'm better than somebody else. That's what is referred to as gaiva. That's gaiva, that's haughtiness. But when a person can say that I'm accomplishing something, I'm really doing something, that I'm a somebody, and it just gives me room for encouragement, and it gives me inspiration, and it challenges me to bigger and better things in his service of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is something that is so satisfying and so happy, it brings such happiness to a person. So when they say, Ma Betza, what is it that I accomplished? What is it that I gained? Do I have a bigger house? My house might be smaller. My car might not be as luxurious. I'm a somebody. I did something with my life. I accomplished something in my life. That's a somebody. That brings joy and happiness, true joy and happiness. Living a more spiritual life, not being so attentive to all of the things, Dvorim Gashmiim, is something that can change a person's life. It's a different life and a more meaningful life. What it can do for a person's midas, you know, when a person generally is a selfish being, we're made selfish beings. That's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created us all. And when a person can work on himself and say that instead of just thinking about myself, let me think about others. It's not simple. But when a person has accomplished that, you know, when two people marry, and you have a spouse where each one thinks of the other one instead of just thinking about themselves, those things are not simple. They're not simple. But that's a life's work. And when a person is successful at accomplishing something like that, he has done something. She has done something. You're not the person that you were created. We were all created lacking. All of us, every single one of us, is not a perfect being. On purpose, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to be made us lacking and says, go out there in the world, my son, my daughter, accomplish, climb, and climb that ladder of greater growth. One rung at a time, one step at a time, but be better than you were before. That is a person who climbs the ladder to closer to perfection. Nobody can be perfect, and we're far from being perfect. But that's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam asked of us. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, change from the way you were made. And each one of us has their shortcomings. One person, one thing more than the other. One person is a haughty person. One person is stingy. Another person is made benevolent, but he's an angry person. Each one with their shortcomings, and that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made us. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, again, climb that ladder. I still remember once I had the privilege, I was a bocher and I was learning in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and every Friday night I ate with a family. I'd rather not mention the name, you'll see soon why. And these were special people, very, very special people. And their father-in-law, who lived in the same house downstairs, in the same apartment, same building that is, he used to come and visit his daughter every Friday night. He was one of the most well-known personalities, Torah personalities in Eretz Yisrael. And he was already old and suffering. He had diabetes, and he wasn't always in control of his faculties. And he would come up, and to his daughter, to his daughter every Friday night and talk, and I had the privilege of being there. And many a time, I could see this was a meanness. There was a meanness in him. And this person had a reputation as being a prince of a person when he was younger, you know, when he was in control of himself. And I saw somebody different. I saw somebody who was mean. And it bothered me. It bothered me terribly. You know, could the whole world be so mistaken about this person and everybody considers him to be a prince of a man, you know, a great, great Talmud Chochem. But I'm talking about as an individual, as a human being, a very special human being, and I see a mean person. And, you know, so at first, not giving somebody, you know, I was young, and I judged the person incorrectly. And then, you know, I thought a little about it, and I said to myself, how silly I was. It's just the opposite. This is the way the man was created. He was created that way. And what he did was, he did something for and with himself. He did something for himself. When he was in control of his faculties, so instead of being a mean person, he now became, you know, a special person. And I say a prince of a man. That's when he was in control of himself. When he wasn't in control of himself, he went back to the way, you know, the way it came naturally to him. That means a person did something for himself. He became somebody very, very special. So instead of me looking at him as he was right now, the truth was that here it was just the opposite. I had the privilege of seeing somebody the way he was created, and now take a look at what the person really did with himself and for himself. That's something that's magnificent. It's really magnificent to see something like that in a person. You know, it's before Rosh Hashanah, and I think that there's a question that bothers all of us. She makridotano. I think everybody, anybody that takes this time of the year seriously, I think that there's something that is very troubling to us, which is, you know, the following question. Didn't I go through this last year? Weren't we in the same place last year, same time, almost in the same place, and we told ourselves the same things. We told ourselves that we're going to become better. We want to be better, and we're going to be better. We made certain kabbalas. We took things upon ourselves. And it's now a year later, and I look at myself, and am I really any different than I was? Am I different than I was? And I think that any thinking person thinks about this question, and it's something that's very troubling to us. I would like to give you talk about three things. The first thing is, I think the real truth is that you are different than you were. And if you think about it, how you were 5 years ago, and you think about how you are today, I have no doubts. I'm looking around the room, and your community has a reputation, and what kind of people you are. I can guarantee you that if you look at yourself, you would say that I'm more careful about the way I speak today than I was 5 years ago. It might be that there's a lot for me that is lacking, and I have to make more progress. But I think it's something that's much more on your mind than it was at one time. Does Limud HaTorah mean more to us? Does thinking about another person mean more to us? I think that these things are very much more on our minds than they were 5 years ago. It means that you're a better person. It means that you're a better person. But just the concept itself, you know, we read on the second day of Shavuot, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read in the Torah, in Shul, the Kriyas HaTorah is from the Parsha of Yishmael, Hagar and Yishmael, where Abraham sends Hagar away. She throws, not having water, she throws Yishmael, Bachad Hasichim. And the Pasuk says, Kishama Lakim is Kerla Nar Bashev Husham, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he listened to the voice of that lad, who was then at that point 15 years old. And Bashev Husham, and the way Chazal understand that, he listened to him, Bashev Husham, in the situation that he was at that time. There was going to come a day that his children were going to do what we are witnessing today to our people, that Yishmael is doing. And the Malachim said, how could you think, Ribbono Shel Olam, of saving this child, knowing what he's going to do to your children? To those who are most precious to you, look what he's going to do. How could you save this person? And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, the Chumash says, he listened to the voice of that lad, Basher Husham, in the situation that he was at that time. Basher Husham, the way he was then. At that time, he cried out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And at that time, he said, I want to serve you. And when a person says genuinely, and he means it, that Ribbono Shel Olam, I want you. Ribbono Shel Olam, closeness to you means everything to me. Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to live a life that is dedicated to you. When the Ribbono Shel Olam hears those words and sees those thoughts and knows them and feels them and knows that they're genuine, then what happens later on, as they say, Zelo Mishaneh, it's difficult, and it's a struggle. Life is a struggle against the Milchemes HaYetzer. But when a person at a point in time, especially when the Ribbono Shel Olam is judging him at this time, and the person says genuinely that Ribbono Shel Olam, this is the life that I want, that means everything to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you read and you learn and you sort of feel the words of Shlomo HaMelech in Shir HaShirim, in Shir HaShirim, where this is a love song between the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Chosen, and Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, the Kala, and they talk about their relationship and sometimes their lack of relationship. And Knesset Yisrael says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and she says to other people, Shchoira ani v'nova b'nois Yerushalayim. I'm black. I've been blackened. I'm not so clean, b'nois Yerushalayim. But I'm still beautiful. Shchoira ani, but v'nova. I'm beautiful. Because it's ka'ole kedor ki yiriyos shloimai. I'm like, you know, that covers my tent, it's like that covers the Bedouin tents, where it constantly sits in the sun and therefore it becomes black. But you have to understand, Ribbono Shel Olam, I have the ability, and what I want is that those same things can be ki yiriyos shloimai, like the tapestries that are in Shlomo's palace. I am really somebody. Right now I'm shechira. But v'nova, I know that there's beauty, and this is the beauty that I want. Al tiruni sha'ani shechar chores. Ribbono Shel Olam, I ask and I plead with you. Don't look at me that I've been darkened, that I'm black. Sheish zofasni ashamesh. I've been out there in the sun. I've been out there in the workplace. I've been out there, and the environment has made such an effect on me, but that's not what I want, the Ribbono Shel Olam says. That's not what I want, Klal Yisrael says. Later on in Shir HaShirim, pasuk says, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Mayofe po amayich ban olim, bas nodiv. You daughter of the prince, you daughter of Avraham Avinu, how beautiful are your footsteps when you put them in shoes. How beautiful they are. And Chazal, the Gemara understands that to mean, it was a magnificent sight to see Klal Yisrael be'oyle regel. You know, when they went up to the Beis HaMikdash with such longing and such passion and such emotion, it was just beautiful to see, to visualize and to see. But I would like to say a word that I once saw from the Be'er Shmuel, the Unsdorfer Rav. He says such a wonderful, wonderful thought. Think for a second. You're in the Beis HaMikdash. You've been there all of Yom Tov. You went to the Be'er Regel. And you felt, today we don't understand and we don't see this and we have no feeling for this because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But when we had a Beis HaMikdash, we felt the presence of the Shekhinah there. And you basked in that glory and closeness of the Shekhinah HaKdosha. That's what it was when you went to a Beis HaMikdash. And it now comes to the end of Yom Tov. He's been there for a week's time. And it's now at the end of Yom Tov. And the person says, you know, I have to go home. There's a long, long winter in front of me, ahead of me. I just wished I could stay here. I wished I could stay here. When was that krechts, you know, that sigh? Oh, what I just wished that I could stay here. At the end of his trip, when he left the Beis HaMikdash, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash, you weren't allowed to wear shoes. You couldn't wear shoes. It's now, he just left the chotzer of the Beis HaMikdash, the Harabayas, and he now puts on his shoes once more to go back home. And he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, when he puts those shoes on and he has to tie them, and he says, I wish I didn't have to put those shoes on. I just wish I could stay here and feel a closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the environment of Kedusha and Tara. Do you know how precious those thoughts are? That desire of a person to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, let me be with you. Let me be close to you. Let me do your work. This is what I want. That is something that is so precious. The answer, by the way, in Shir HaShirim, to the words of Shchoira Ani and Al Tiruni Shani Shechachores, the answer to that is at the end, Hincho Yofa Rayosi, my beloved, you're beautiful to me. Hincha Yofa, you're beautiful, Einayich Yonim. Your eyes are like those, the eyes of a dove. What the significance of that is, I'll say in a minute, in Yetzir Hashem. I would just like to tell you a story that I saw once. You know, Reb Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv, of Elojin. Reb Chaim Berlin was a goyin and a tzaddik. He was rov at one time in Moscow, which you think is, you know, a big rabbonis, but I just want to say it wasn't. It might be a prestigious rabbonis because it was a very, very big town, a very big city, that is. But the Shmiras HaMitzis, or lack of Shmiras HaMitzis in Moscow, there were very, very few frum people in Moscow. But he was something very, very special. Reb Chaim Berlin happened to be a male as well. Somebody once came into Reb Chaim Berlin's house. There were some other people there. And they asked Reb Chaim Berlin, or if I could better say, I meant to say something first. Reb Chaim Berlin, later on, after he was in Moscow, went to Eretz Yisrael. He was in Yerushalayim. Somebody who was very close to him was Reb Aryeh Levin. Reb Aryeh Levin was somebody who was very close to Reb Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin was a Balkur. And he used to lay in every Shabbos. And people used to come. He used to learn with such misikos, with such sweetness. But when they used to come, especially, was on Pesach when he learned Shir HaShirim. And you could just hear the emotion of those words.
So he goes into another room, and
he says, he asked him, do you mind, could you do a bris for me? Could you do a bris for me? My wife had a baby, and she says, yes, you know, without any question. Why the secrecy? Why the great secrecy? So at first he was hesitant, and then he said, I want to tell you, I live in a part of town that Jews, there are no Jews. Nobody knows me as a Jew. And if you knew what my business is, you would be distraught. I sell religious articles. Religious, not Jewish religious articles, but Christian articles. That's my parnosa, and I have a wonderful parnosa. And if anybody ever find out about it, you can imagine that that I'm Jewish. That would be finished with. And my life would be in danger as well. Is there a way, he says, so he asked Reb Chaim Berlin, is there something that we can do to, how are we going to do this bris? How are we going to accomplish this bris? So he thinks for a little while and he tells him, look, a couple of days before, you know, the bris, before the day of the bris, send away the help, the goyim that work with you in the house. There's a very famous doctor here, a surgeon in Moscow who happens to be Jewish, but say that this child, let people in the house know, the servants or so, and some of your friends, not Jewish, that the baby, you know, has some issues, and this way, when the doctor comes, they're not going to be surprised when they see him in the house. I'll come with the doctor. Together, we'll come together. And this is, in fact, what he did. You know, he went together with the doctor. They went quietly. They went to the house, and they made a bris. Reb Chaim Berlin was the moyel, and the doctor was the sandik. And he left, and he went back, and he asked, but before he left, he says, do me a favor, come back in 3 days. Come back to my house in 3 days. I want to hear how the baby is. That's what he told him. Comes back 3 days later, and the first thing he does is he gives him 10 rubles to Reb Chaim Berlin. He understood that Reb Chaim Berlin, the reason that he asked him to come back was because he felt he wanted money. So he said, you know, he doesn't want to take any money. So he thought, well, maybe he means he wants more, so he gave him some more. He says, you know, he never takes anything for a bris. I asked you to come because I wanted to know why it was so important to you, why this was so important to you to make a bris. And he, at first, he was hesitant, and then he just breaks down and crying, and he says, I come from a family that knew a Rabbanu Shel Olam. I knew I came from a wonderful family. But I have strayed and I've gone very, very far. I don't know. I just don't know if I can ever come back. I want to, but you don't know how difficult it is. But I was raised in a Jewish environment, and I know what it is. But I'm afraid for my son. My son grew up, is growing up, will grow up in an environment that doesn't know any kind of Yiddishkeit. And I don't know what's going to be with him. He might just completely forget that he's a Jew. But you never know. He said, you never know. One day he might meet up with Jews and be in a Jewish environment. And maybe there'll be a spark that's going to, something's going to light up within him. If he has a bris and he knows he's one of them, then it'll just give him an opportunity. But if he doesn't have a bris, he doesn't identify, doesn't know that he's a Jew, nothing is going to help him. Nothing will help him. I want to be able to do this for my son. If I can't do it for myself, let me do it for him. Whenever I remember that, he says, in Shir HaShirim, Chazal say on the Pasuk, Hincha Yofa Rayosi, Hincha Yofa Einayich Yonin, Hincha Yofa, why the double language? You're beautiful. You're beautiful, Chazal say, Koidem Achet, V'Hincha Yofa La'achar Achet. You're beautiful before you sin, and you're beautiful after you sin. How are you so beautiful after you sin? How do Chazal say you're beautiful after you sin? But what they meant was, this kind of a situation. You know why you're beautiful after? Because einayich yonim, because your eyes are like that of a dove. A dove, Chazal say, can never go away from its mate more than, you know, it won't go out of its eyesight. As far as it can see, if it can see it, that's as far it will go. A dove is extremely, extremely, fiercely loyal to its mate. And that's why Klal Yisrael is always equated. Yoinosi, Samosi, she's equated to a yoina, to a yoina. As far as she has strayed, as far as she has strayed. But listen to that bikush. Listen to that desire. If I can't do something for myself, let me at least do something for my child. That he knows that he's Jew and gives him an opportunity to come back one day. Vel veis. Who knows? That to me is so precious. Hincha yofa rayosi. Hincha yofa inayach yonu. But there's something that I'd like to say that to me is even more important. Our struggle, you know, I would like you to think for a second of a person being caught in a quagmire, in mud that he's just sinking. And he's fighting and he's struggling and he's struggling to stay up on top. The longer he's there, the more difficult it is, it becomes. And the harder it is. And you just don't have that strength. For us to stay the way we are, were we just to stay the way we are, does that mean that a person is a Ben Aliyah? When you live in an environment that we live in, as we live in today, an environment that is so polluted with tumah. I don't think there's ever been a time in the history of mankind, or at least after the Dor HaFloga, that there's been so much tumah in the environment. Somebody goes out on the street, it's impossible. It's impossible not to be affected. Somebody just is in his office, and with everything that goes on, and yet the person stays the way he is. Just, let's say he just stays the way he is. He's a lot stronger than he was, and he's a lot better than he was, because it becomes more and more and more difficult. And for a person to stay in the same matzav as he was, is a person who is stronger and stronger, because the forces against him are much stronger. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at a person like that, it is something that he looks at a person according to the situation and the environment that he's in. Reb Chaim Vital was the greatest of disciples, Talmidim of the Arizal. It is he that wrote down everything that we have from the Arizal. The Kisvei Chaim is from Reb Chaim Vital. Everything that we know from the Ari comes from Reb Chaim Vital. And he writes, this is something that's fascinating. He writes that, you know, my Rebbe told me, the Arizal, that you had a special neshama. He speaks about himself. And he says, I don't understand. I asked my master, I asked the Arizal, if you look at me, and you look at the smallest in the times of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, the smallest of people in the time of the Tanoim and Amoraim, I wouldn't reach his ankles. So how could you tell me that they look at you as somebody who, you know, has a special neshama? So he said, you have to understand that a person is judged, and a person is a greater or not great, that is determined by the environment that he is in. And when a person does a mitzvah in our time, a small action, a good deed, the schar that there is for something like that is something that the Tanoim and Amoraim didn't have with many, many of their mitzvahs that they did. You can't judge a person in a vacuum. You have to judge a person according to the environment that he lives in and that he's in. And our environment is something that is so conducive to tumah. And yet a person struggles and wishes to attain and in fact attains his level of that he is. That is something that, you know, there's a great victory there. There's a great victory. I'm not saying that we can't be better, and we have to be better, and we should be better. But a person needs to appreciate who they are with the type of environment that they're in. And that is something that is so choshuv to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So when you ask yourself that question, am I not the same person as I was last year? The truth is that you're better. But even if you were the same person as you were last year, living again and again, just continuously in that type of an environment, and yet struggling and attaining what you have, achieving what you have, is a major, major success. And therefore, you know, the answer to that question, am I not the same? Did it accomplish anything? It accomplished a lot, an enormous amount. And it's something that we have to appreciate ourselves for. I would just like to learn one Gemara. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that says the following. I see it's getting late and I'm sorry. The Gemara says something very interesting, that there was a shepherd who came from the Upper Galilee, from the Galil HaElyon, and he went and he worked for somebody in the Galil HaTachton, in the Lower Galilee. He worked for him for 3 years. For a man who was fabulously wealthy, had many fields, animals, orchards, you name it, houses. He worked for him for 3 years, and when the time came, that was usually the work period for 3 years. Kimishnes Chasochi Avotcha, it says in the Torah, it was a 3-year period, and he asked for payment. It was before Rosh Hashanah, and he asked for payment. And the person said, "I have no money. I have no money." So he said, "At least can you give me some of your animals? I have no animals. Give me some of your produce. I have no produce." He goes home, the pachei nefesh, despondent, goes home, and goes back to the Upper Galilee, to the Galil HaElyon, to his family. After Yom Kippur, the owner of the, you know, the fields, comes with animals laden with all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things, and with money, and he comes to pay this worker. Comes to pay the worker. And the employer asks his employee, his former employee, "What did you think of when I told you I had no money? What did you think?" So he says, "Well, I thought maybe you had a cash flow problem because you invested your money in something." And what did you think when I said that you had no animals? I thought maybe you gave them to Hegdish. These kinds of questions and these kinds of answers. So he says, Ha'avod, I swear that everything that you say was true. Is true. And he says that just like Kishem, just like you judged me, Tatzchut, gave me the benefit of the doubt, so that Rabban Yisroelim should judge you that way. As an aside, that shepherd, in the Shulchan that Rabbi Choy says, that shepherd was Akiva before he went to learn. Not knowing anything, right? But this is who he was. This is who Akiva ben Yosef was. And there's something that always troubled me. You know, I can either judge or not judge somebody, Lekavskus, because I don't know what goes on in his mind. But to say that just like you judged me, Lekavskus, so that Rabbi Shalom should judge you, Lekavskus, Rabbi Shalom knows the intentions of man. He knows what goes on in his mind. The concept of judging Lekavskus, Leskus, doesn't mean anything when it comes to the Rabbi Shalom. What does that mean? It's something that always troubled me. But I would just like to, the end, offer a thought here. And I think it's like, and I would just like you to think a little about this. When do you judge somebody, Lekatzkus? How does a person look at somebody and give somebody else the benefit of the doubt? When, you know, we all have our shortcomings and we all have our qualities. And when a person looks at somebody in a good way, and a person likes another person, because he's another human being who was created B'Tselem Elokim, and I can look at him in a good way, or I could look at him in a critical way, and I say, as a mensch, as a yid, as a tzelem elokim, let me judge him properly, let me look at him properly, let me have an ayin toiv, let me have a good eye about that person, and a lev toiv. When you look at a person like that, you can dan him, you could judge him lekavskus. And we ask of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that is what we ask of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We have our shortcomings. But Rabbeinu Shalom, there are things that is nice about us, that are nice about us. Rabbeinu Shalom, look at us in a good way. And if you look at a person in a good way, then the Rabbeinu Shalom looks at you in a good way. And this manifests itself in every aspect and facet of our lives. In relationships between spouses, in relationships between friends, with people in the community, in every manner and aspect of life, these things come up. When you can look at somebody with an eye in tov, when somebody did something that had a lack of sensitivity, so right away, you know, it creates a great, great machlokes with whoever it is. And were I to say, you know, this is really a person that cares for me, this is really a person that loves me. In this situation, they made a mistake. But overall, is it somebody who cares? Is it somebody who tries to take care of me? Is it not somebody? Is that not somebody that is? Is that not who that person really is? When you look at a person with an eye in toiv and a lev toiv, it just makes your life a different life. A different life. And if you think about it, in every aspect and facet of your life, when you look at a person with an ayin toiv and a lev toiv, it's a different life. I would just like to end with, you know, I speak about Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, later on to become Rabbi Akiva, who the Rambam refers to as the Godol Shebetanoim, the greatest of all the Tanoim, a Ben Gavim who became the greatest of all the Tanoim, who Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, was jealous of, in a nice way jealous. There's a very, very interesting story in the Gemara. The Gemara said Rabbi Akiva was terribly poor. And Rabbi Akiva said, if I ever become rich, I'll buy my wife a golden beret. A golden beret, which is, and in fact, that is, later on, Rabbi Akiva did become rich, and he found a treasure, and he made for his wife a beret to hold her hair with an imprint of Yerushalayim on it. That's where, you know, that Yerushalayim de Dahava, Yerushalayim of gold, Yerushalayim shel Dahava, you know, a song, that's where it comes from. It's that that Rabbi Akiva bought for his wife. If you would know, if you read a little in the Gemara, you learn in the Gemara the relationship between Rabbi Akiva and his wife Rachel, where it was on a different level. On a different level. It sounds a little strange that Rabbi Akiva says, you know, that was the one thing he says, if I ever get rich, I'm going to buy my wife a golden beret. What, you know, was tutzachda? What is happening? Let me tell you what I think is happening here. Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd, a good person, brilliant, but a shepherd who one time felt that Talmid Chachamim, you know, give me a Talmid Chacham and I'll rip him apart. They're parasites. What do? They do nothing for the world. They don't go out and work. They're sitting and they're studying their books. That's what they're doing. And she, Rachel. You know who Rachel was? Rachel was the daughter of Kalva Savua, one of the three richest people in Yerushalayim who made up that they would sustain Yerushalayim. They had enough funds to sustain all of Yerushalayim for 22 years, the Gemara says. And she gave everything up. Kalva Savua disowned his daughter. And they were so poor. They were so poor that there was a time that they had no money. And she was willing, she had beautiful hair, Rachel, beautiful hair, and she cut her hair, and she sold it for the purpose of helping her husband, doing what he did, in order to become, you know, the Rabbi Akiva that we know. It meant so much. She made me. She did for me. Shali b'shalochem shalohi. She was the one that did it. I never want to forget that. I never want to forget what he did, what she did for me. He always wanted that in front of him. You know, that HaKoras HaToiv that he had for her, to her, to Rachel, for what she did to him, is something that he just didn't want to forget. He couldn't forget that for 1 minute, and he always wanted it in front of him. So that, you know, beret that showed and reminded him that she was willing even to go to such lengths and extremes to do that, just that I, her husband, should be able to learn and become who I became. I'm forever indebted to her, and I can't forget it, and that's what HaKoras HaToiv is. The Rebbeinu Shlomo should help that. We should have HaKoras HaToiv to what the Rebbeinu Shlomo does for us, and see other people in a good light, and therefore the Rebbeinu Shlomo should bless us, look at us in a good light, and we should have a good gebench to your axir Hasim Torah.
I'm sorry?
Whatever happened to the Chaim Berlin, the trial that he was Moyav Mahal?
I don't think we know. I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Rabbi Hapfer. Yeah, we are very, very appreciative and grateful to you. And Rabbi Hapfer, we have extraordinary HaKoras HaTov for you, for your Kabbalah. Mit Hashem, we should be zocher to other opportunities to be able to be Mekabel Shem Shamayim and to be able to give each other Chizuk.
Thank you. And it was a pleasure being here.
I could bench them with the yard.